You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to thank you for being in the house of God this morning, and I pray that you will be blessed. Believe in God to minister. It's good to have my brother in church with us this morning. Surprised me walking in the office, but I'm glad he's here. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us. And Lord, help us today to sit in heavenly places with you. Use me as an oracle of your grace, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, God bless you. We had an awesome time last week. I appreciate you being here. Amen. We had a wonderful meal. God blessed with that. As soon as that was over with, we tore everything down, realigned, and had kids' crusade. Started our kids' rally starting that night. Went through Wednesday night. We had a crowd of kids every night. Had an awesome time. And Sister Christy had to take a pie. And Sister Carrie had to take a pie. And Pete Reese owned up and took a pie so that they wouldn't feel bad. And Mac got pied. And then they hand Miss Barbara a pie and say, you can pick anybody you want to. And she looked back at me and she said, and I got a pie, and while she was figuring out how she was going to hit me, I I got her. I figure if I'm getting one, you're getting one. Glory. Bad thing was my sugar went up. No, it was all right. It wasn't that bad. It was just whipped cream. Amen. I thought I could get Boston cream or chocolate or something, you know, make it worth my while. Amen. But we had a great time. God blessed us. The kids had a good time. That's what it's all about, getting them in to know about God. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I believe the Lord laid on my heart, and I just want to share it with you, the inevitable revival. We've had talks over the years, people talking about in the last day they're going to be a revival, and have had people talk about there's going to be a move of God, and then some other guys, they, you know, they're the type of people that unless it happens, they ain't going to believe it's going to take place. Amen. You know, they can look at a glass that's got halfway up in water, and they'll say, well, it's half empty when it's really half full. Amen. Come on, church. I'm the eternal optimist. If there's water in the glass, I figure I'm not going to die of thirst. Glory. Amen. And I think it's time some of us started doing that with the word of God. If he said something's going to happen, we ought to start accepting the fact that it is inevitable. Amen. I'm not talking to you about a revival that might happen. I'm not talking to you about a move of God that might take place. I'm telling you that according to the word of God, it is inevitable that this world, no matter what happens to it, is going to see a move of God, that God's going to come down and the church is going to catch on fire, and God's coming for a church that is without spot, without blemish, and full of his glory. Could you say amen? Amen. See, I believe God's known from the beginning what's going on. I had somebody tell me, said, well, you know, God doesn't know anything. He don't know everything. That's crazy. Word of God says he knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you think you thought. He knows what you think you're going to think about tomorrow. Glory. Hello. It's interesting to note that the Greek word translated worlds in the scripture I gave to you is not the word cosmos, which is normally translated worlds, but it is simply another word called aeon. We get a word called eon from it, and it simply means a period of time. And what it's saying is God created the worlds. We know that happened. I'm not disputing that. God spoke, and the worlds came into existence. The word of God said, in him all things were made. Without him, nothing was created. But he spoke, and everything came into being. Amen. But can I tell you that by doing what he did, the writer of Hebrews simply turns around and said the scripture is not just telling us by faith we understand God framed the world, but we also understand that he understood everything was going to happen the way it was going to happen, and it's certainly true. Could you say amen? You say, what are you talking about? God has a plan for the ages. His plan started before the foundations of this world, and his plan does not change because God does not change. Could you say amen? Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, what are you talking about? God set into motion a plan, and that plan will one day be fulfilled in the church. Could you say amen? God foreordained every era in the beginning of time. He foresaw the creation, the period of law, the church age, the millennial, etc. He predestined Satan's doom, the great white throne judgment, the new heaven, and the new earth. Somebody said, well, preacher, that's good supposition. No, that's word of God. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. And I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. He said, I already knew what was going to happen when I started all of this. He said, I declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure, calling the ravenous bird from the east, the man to execute my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it and I will also do it. Hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, according to Acts 15 and 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? God's not been caught off guard by anything that's happened. Amen. Even before there was ever a man on the earth, God understood he was going to mess up. He knew he couldn't handle it. But before there was ever a person on this earth to sin, there was a Savior in heaven. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. See, things which are seen in this world today are not the results of mere chance. The condition of the world does not catch God by surprise. God understands what condition we're in. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know he understood it's going to get this bad. You ever read 2 Timothy? It gets pretty bad. This know also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Honey, are we not seeing all that right in front of our eyes every day we open up? We live in a world where it's all about everybody. People run from church to church trying to find somebody to tell them what they want to hear. They can't find it over here, they'll run over there. If you can't find it over there, they'll run it over there. You know, the Bible said in the last days, people would have teachers. He being under them teachers having itching ears. What do you want to do? You tell me what I want to hear, I'll come to your church. I got news for you, honey. If that's what's going to keep you here, you're probably not going to hang around, because I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to do my best to stay in this book so you'll know the truth, because I want to see you in glory, and I want to stay with you, and I don't want you to just be happy in whatever state you're in. I want you to be born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, on your way to heaven, and ready to meet the Lord. Could you say amen? Perilous times are going to come. Listen, church, we're living in perilous times. I don't know if y'all watch the news, but we don't know if our country's going to be broke next week or not. And we don't know what's going to happen, because one guy said this is going to happen, another said this is going to happen. I think all the states ought to do like California. They just want to borrow some more money in case the government goes out of business. They'll keep operating like Washington don't exist. Notice how I said that. They went and borrowed some more money. They just are dumb as people in Washington. Well, let's don't quit spending too much. Let's just go borrow some more. Hey, that doesn't work locally, does it? Ah, some of you smile, look at me. You know good and well I know what I'm talking about. You get like that. Hey, we've all been there. I remember when I wanted it, I went and got it. I borrowed from Peter to pay Paul. Then John started showing up. Then Luke came around. Next thing you know, I'm chasing Matthew trying to get some money. Some of y'all say, I ain't never been there. You will eventually if you ain't made it yet, because all of us get out of control from time to time, because we think, oh, yeah, it's easy. You know, I thought God had sent me a credit card. I was okay. I remember a guy in Buell one time got a checking account. He went to writing checks everywhere. He thought long as he had checks in that thing, he could write them. He didn't have to have money. He was bouncing checks everywhere because he thought he really got mad. He said, well, y'all gave me all these checks. Hello? Y'all going, ain't nobody that dumb, you ain't been to Bew. But it ain't just there. It's everywhere. Now our government thinks they can just keep spending money they ain't got. And they had the idea, well, if we don't have it, we'll just print some more. You can't do that. You end up where they are. Sooner or later, you got to do what I did. You got to cut back and decide you're going to live off what you got or not live at all. Come on, church. I don't do credit cards because I can't. I do credit cards and I'll owe everybody and their brother. So I just don't do credit cards and I ain't got to worry about it. Come on, church, smile. How you get anything? You pay for it. It's an amazing theory. If you ain't got it, you don't need it. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all look at me and say, he's getting in my business. Had a guy call me one morning. He said, pray for me. He said, I'm maxed out on every credit card. I don't even know I'm going to feed my kids this week at school. I take him to lunch, and I give him the money for his kids' lunches. I buy his lunch because I realize he ain't got no money. I told him, I said, dude, do you realize what got you here? I said, you're trying to live like Donald Trump. And you're trying to do it on minimum wage, and you can't do it. He called me the next day and said, you ain't going to believe it, but said, every one of my credit cards raised my limit. God's a great God. I said, God ain't got nothing to do with this. Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. And y'all know where he ended up? Broke, busted, disgusted. Why? Because eventually they quit raising the limit, and he couldn't do nothing else, and he had to deal with it. Come on, church. But that goes into this other thing down here. Incontinent, out of control. We've got people that are getting mad, shooting people for no reason. And it's going to get worse. And we're sitting here, our government's about to go broke. We got people shooting each other for no reason. We got folks you pass on the road and they get mad at you and vote you number one. What's bad is I am almost positive that was a church person did that to me the other day. Glory. Not here, but another church. Hallelujah. Glory. But we're living in a world that's coming apart. And on top of that, some of y'all may not understand this, but in the next month, two comets are going to pass this earth at the same time. We've never had that before. We've got one that goes by every 5 years, and it gets closer and closer every time it comes by. It's going to be 4 million miles away this time. We don't know what it's going to do to us when it gets that close. But right about time it passes us on the 17th of September, that one, and one we just found in December that don't come by but about every 9,000 years, so it's never been by before. We don't know what it's going to do. They're going to line up with the earth and the sun and the moon and Mercury, and all of it's going to get in one alignment, and all kind of gravitational stuff's going to happen. And you say, well, preacher, you're telling us bad things. No, I'm not an idiot. We got one guy said the earth's going to flip over. I don't think that's going to happen. God said, what are you going to do if it does? I said, well, I'll just watch the water go down the drain in a different direction. Those of you who missed that, see me after church. Glory. But if you go below the equator, the water turns the other way when it goes down the drain. Glory. I've been there. Amen. It's weird. Hello? But I don't think the earth's going to flip over. But I do know this, that when we have gravitational changes, it changes our tides. It could cause us to have rogue waves. It's going to hit ships or come up on the beach and flood beach areas. We could also see earthquakes that are caused by the changing of the gravitational pull. But notice this, on full moons, we have more violent crime and catastrophic events than any other time. And if the moon pulls that on us, what's going to happen when we got two other bodies pulling on us? We could see more people going crazy, more people out of control. We're living in a day when all this stuff is happening. And can I tell you this? God's got it all under his hand. And God's not been caught by anything unusual. He knows exactly what's going on. Glory. Notice this. He said, continue. This is how Paul told Timothy. He said, continue in that which you have seen and heard. In other words, hold on to the word. Hold on to God. And what's going to happen? We're going to understand that God's got it all under control. The nucleus of God's plan from the start to the incarnation, most specifically Calvary, God already understood it before it ever started. What happened at Golgotha's Hill was not plan B. God didn't mess up and just had to switch plans. It was there all along. Amen. You read it in the book of Revelation. It said, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So before Christ ever came into the earth, he understood he had a destiny with Calvary. That's why he prayed that night. God, if there's any other way, let me get out. But not my will. Thy will be done. And he went to Calvary knowing I must need die that man can live. Could you say amen? God's plan was set in order even then. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, all part of God's plan. God's plan from the start also called for a great church. Notice this. Ephesians 5:27. God said, I'm going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. God foreordained that the church would be influential, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Hello? So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Matthew 5, that ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. But ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that is in the house. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I never forget, we were in Israel. We went to Tiberias down on the Sea of Galilee, and all they could talk about was everybody's going to get a balcony overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Except for me and Boo. We got stuck on the back. Get up there, everybody be talking, oh, man, that was beautiful this morning looking at the sea. I'm going, y'all have seen our crane. And I ain't talking about no bird. There was a construction site right beside the motel, and all I had to look at off my balcony was a stupid crane with its tools pulled up. So I realized people still in Israel. That's why they pull them tools up so you can't get them. And I'm out there upset one night thinking about it. I walked out on the balcony, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden that scripture went through my head, because I look up on the hill on the north shore, way away from where I'm at, and I see lights. And I'm looking, and suddenly I realize it's the city of Safat. It's the city Jesus was looking at. That even in Jesus' day, that city lit up day and night, so that no matter where you are on the Sea of Galilee, you can see it. It glistens in the daytime. Even in Jesus' day, it had metal roofs. Even in Jesus' day, they lit it up at night with torches for whatever reason. And even to this day, it is lit up day and night. You can see it from anywhere along that seashore. And God said, you're to be like that city. You're to be that city that nobody can hide you. Nobody can put you out. And when you do that, then you can show people your good works. And in doing so, you'll glorify the Father, because he will look at them and say, hey, there is a God. Could I say here, amen? Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't go to a fire for their own good. They went for the king. And when they come out, the king said, there is no God other than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel didn't go to a lion's den for Daniel. He went there for the king. And what did Artaxerxes say? He said, there is no God other than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a world outside looking for answers, and we got it. And it's time we turn on a light and let them know our God is still real and his power is still sufficient. Woo! He also decided to start a church that'd be successful reaching the world. He said, and this gospel shall be preached unto all the world as a witness unto all nations, and the end shall come. Glory. Can I tell you, churches, God's looking for a church that's on fire. He's looking for a church that's moving in his glory. God's church was particularly effective in the early and latter years, especially the latter years after in between times of darkness. So what are you talking about? Do you realize that God's getting ready to do something he could have never done any other time of history? Hello? Joel chapter 2. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, verse 23, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Could you say amen to that, church? How did God propose the foundation of the world to restore lost years? Do you realize that it took from the beginning of the world to 1830 before we reached 1 billion people on this earth? Somebody said, wow, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's pretty important when you realize that when that thousands of years is accomplished and duplicated in 100 years, in 1930, there were 2 billion people in the earth. 30 years later, in 1960, there were over 3 billion people on the face of the earth. In 1975, we passed 4 billion. 1987, we passed 5 billion. 1998, we went past 6 billion. Just a few weeks ago, we found out there's 7.5 billion people living on this earth. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that our population has almost tripled or quadrupled in the last 100 years or 200 years. And we're sitting here trying to figure out what we're going to do. Can I tell you? It's because there's a bigger harvest field. God's expecting a bigger harvest. He didn't plant a bunch of seed for it to all go to waste. He don't want it left in the field. He is a good farmer. He has a crop coming, and he's looking for some people to work the field. He's looking for some people to get on fire to do a work to bring in a lost and dying world. And can I tell you, Alabaster Church of God is sitting in a field that is wide unto harvest, and we need a God move of God. And it is not are we, but when are we going to let the power of God move and his glory come down? Because see, if we don't get in it, he'll find somebody else. Is all this taking God by surprise? Is this something that God don't understand? See, Jesus died to save the world. And listen to what Daniel says. And they that be wise, Daniel chapter 9, or chapter 12, I believe it is. It's 9 or 12. It should be on that paper back there. And the reason I'm saying that is somehow the printer did not print the number that I had typed back there. So I'm at a loss. It just says Daniel 3 and 4. And there's 12 chapters. So it's in one of them. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So you see, even in Daniel's day, God understood what the world was going to be like in the last day. He understood what was going on. Why? Because at this time, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. God, who framed the ages from the beginning, decided to open up a knowledge of his word at a time of the end when many people would populate the earth. Daniel 12 and 10 said, many shall be purified and made white. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? God's going to open his word. There's going to be a move of God. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be a touch of God in his people. Most people who will populate heaven and earth already are here. Hello? Second Chronicles tells us the only thing we've got to do as a church, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear in heaven, and then shall I heal their land. Hello? You know, that's real good, but you keep reading that, and I'm going to get the rest of it. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Huh? We ain't talking about people on the street. We talking about church folks praying through, getting right. Quit playing with God. We got too many Samsons in the church that think because they tear off a gate, they've done something. But if you ain't living right, no matter how many gates you tore off, you still ain't right. Samson thought because he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, he was really something. But he found himself blinded by the things of this world, tied up and being made fun of because he wasn't where he needed to be, because he jumped up and shook himself like some folks do in church because they ain't got a clue the Spirit ain't around them. Hello? Come on, church. Nothing wrong with shouting, but we got some folks you ought to think about where they're living before they go running an aisle. I know right around here, but I know one lady where I used to go to church that she might not be at church for 6 months, but if she showed up, she was going to run them aisles and have a time. And I'm like, how in the world can you do that? You don't love God enough to show up once every 6 months and you're going to shout about it? That went over like a lead balloon. I don't care. It's the truth. if you don't love God enough to be at church, don't come down here talking about I'm going to shout and have a good time. You don't deserve it. God's not going to bless somebody don't love him enough to show up. Now, Lord, if I stayed gone in the house and come back every 6 months and knocked on the door, I'd find the locks changed and a sign going, move elsewhere. Glory. Malachi 3, I promised you this. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. But you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not destroy the fruit of the ground. And neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Church, do you hear what he said? God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless his church. And in a time when the world's falling apart, if we sell out to God, God's going to keep us. He said, preacher, you're just going crazy. No, read your books, read your history. In every major downturn of the economy and every major trial this country's ever been in, there's always been followed by a move of God and a revival where people turn to God. And I'm telling you, we're looking it right in the face, and God's getting ready to give the church the greatest harvest it's ever seen, and the power of God's getting ready. Oh, come on, church. I don't understand these preachers that want to act like the bride of Christ is dying. Well, the church ain't what it used to be. Church is always going to be God's bride. And it's going to be what it used to be. It's just those making it up need to get on board. Hello? He's not coming back to marry a bride on oxygen. I mean, you got some preachers actually make you believe if they don't hurry up and have the wedding supper, the church ain't going to live long enough to make it to the wedding. God's coming for a church that's without spot, without blemish, that's on fire. Well, preacher, I just don't see that. Then you ain't never read the book of Joel and quoted again in the book of Acts. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That sounds like revival to me, buddy. Amen. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. What are you talking about? They're going to get so happy. Your kids are going to be shouting in the aisles. That's what the word prophesy means. Amen. They're going to be dancing in the aisles and shouting because they've come to know Jesus Christ and they're not hung up on everything else. And wouldn't that be awesome to see kids get so excited about God they'd leave your iPods at home? Huh? Amen. Wouldn't have to worry about what games they're playing because they've been there listening to scripture and talking about Jesus and getting ready to have some more move of God. Somebody said, kids don't act like that. They did when I was in school. I used to have them bug daylights out of me. Amen. Glory. Come on, church. I had some of them mark me down as their personal project of salvation. And then they'd chase me around, quote scripture at me. One old boy called my name out every morning over to Anacom. At Bible study, Bible reading every morning. He'd read the Bible and he'd pray. And the last thing he said every stinking morning was, God save Kenny. And everybody in the school knew who he was talking about. He coming down the steps one morning and I helped him down the steps. He hit the bottom of that floor and blood coming out of his nose and his lip. And I jumped down beside him. I stuck a knife up his neck. And I said, you call my name out one more time, boy, I'm going to kill you. He reached up, wiped his face, and he slid it across my arm. And he said, if you're good enough for Jesus, you're good enough for me. Go ahead. I don't know why, but I could never find my way around to bug that guy anymore. I mean, I've seen them other guys that act like Christians for a week or two after revival and then go back to being themselves. But this guy was real. And I forget, when I finally got saved at the church and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was walking through the mall one day and I seen Mark. And I said, hey, Mark! Man, he took off. I chased him out of the mall, and if he hadn't failed, even though he's bigger than me, I don't think I'd have caught him. He hit the ground, and I run up to him, and he's like, don't hit me, don't hit me. I said, man, I want to tell you, I love you. And I know you say Baptists don't shout, but he did. He come up off that ground, and y'all have seen them people driving by me and him hugging in that parking lot going. And this was in the 70s. They were checking us out. But we didn't care. Because all of a sudden, all those mornings, he called my name out. It finally came to happen. Somebody asked me one time, I said, what did you see when you got saved? I said, I was down there praying, and all of a sudden, I didn't see a vision of Jesus. I heard somebody going, God, save Kenny. That's what it's all about. We're getting ready for a move of God. It's inevitable that we're going to see a revival. I want to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God's going to do in his church. And for me to do that, I've got to make sure everything in my life's out of the way so that I can be what God wants me to be. Stand with me all over the house. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. But upon thine handmaids and thy servants, your friends and your relatives, I'm going to pour out the spirit of prayer, supplication. God's getting ready to move. I want to be a part of what God's going to be doing. But for that to happen, I got to make sure that I got everything out of my way so that I can be what God wants me to be, so he can use me to reach people for his glory. Father, I believe you this morning for your grace. I believe you today, God, for your love. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation to your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name.